Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Bienvenue pour la prochaine session. Thank you. My name is Vijaya Raghavan. I'm from the Department of Bioresource Engineering at McGill University. I'm pleased to introduce to you Professor Mark Curtis from the Natural Resource Science Department of McGill University as well. So the next session is biofuels, how they affect food security. To begin this session, I just want to make a couple of comments which I strongly believe in. We as global citizens would like to address issues related to food systems, energy systems, and the environmental systems. So for the past 2 days, we are dealing with the food system, and in that, the subcategory food security. So now, as energy systems has diversification in terms of biofuels, we begin to see some conflicts between the biofuels and the food security issues. And I think that's what we are here for the next session, this particular biofuels, how they affect food security. We do have 4 panelists of very strong international repute. So I'm sure they will make the point with respect to biofuels, how they affect food security. Without any further ado, I would like to invite the first speaker, Dr. Alex Ableo, to the podium here, please. Dr. Ableo, he is the president of Russian Biofuels Association. Prior to joining the association, Dr. Ableo was the senior manager of Genencor division, Danisco. He has over 20 years of diverse experience in international business, government relations, venture capital, and project management. Dr. Ableo received his master's degree from Novosibirsk State University and his MBA degree from Ross School of Business, University of Michigan. He's also vice president for foreign affairs of Russian Biotechnology Organization and an active author in national and international journals. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Ableo.
Thank you. Thank you very much for introduction, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would appreciate my thanks to McGill University and organizers to invite me. And my presentation is all about Russia and biofuel and food security related to these issues. A few words about agenda today, Russian Biofuel Association, food versus fuel debate, and about Russian grain a little bit. Okay, association promote renewable first and second generation fuel in Russia. And we held annual events for biofuel. And we have annual events for industrial biotechnology and biotechnology as well. Next year event will be in next April in Moscow, co-located biofuel event and biotechnology event. And talking about food versus fuel, I'm glad to hear this conference. Not too many blames on biofuel anymore. And previous speakers, I was glad to see a similar chart. And now you could see this chart shows grain prices, corn prices versus oil prices since 2006. And as you see, this chart is quite coincide each other. On the background that ethanol production in the U.S. and the world was growing quite fast this time, but oil prices and grain prices dropped. Let's clearly show that biofuel have very little to do with grain prices and food prices as a whole, and some other factor, specifically was mentioned, the speculation in the market and oil prices are part of this equation. That's the same chart for wheat prices and oil prices, that's again the same picture. So it's very difficult to say that really biofuel was responsible for all this price spike as 2008. That's a lot of articles, publication was all about. And I believe that a coordinated attack of different interest group to increase food prices but blame somebody else on it. So, and food versus fuel debate, that's really, I mean, I saw that hundreds of pictures like that. That's probably the most polite picture I saw. But in reality, I would say that's a food and fuel debate. Many people who is not involved in biofuel forget to remember that when we produce biofuel from food crops, from corn or from wheat, that we use in biofuel only starch part of the biofuel, but whole protein starch is going to food in terms of corn or in feed in if you process corn or in food if you process wheat. And the protein is most important part of the grain which is going to the food supply. So in reality, we produce food and fuel producing biofuel. So you see that. And switch to Russia. Russia, okay, I mean, somebody could surprise. Why Russia need biofuel? Because you have so much oil. Yes, that's right. But that's a lot of driver to biofuel in Russia. First, our export obligation. We have to export more than we could pump. So we need to replace domestic market and oil and gas with something else. Second, we dangerously depend on import. So we import 50% meat, for example, surprisingly. And we don't have feed protein for this meat production, so we have no soy in Russia. And what's the most important, we need a rural area development. I mean, social, it's understandable. And a huge research and development background in Russia could easily provide switch from first generation biofuel to second generation biofuel. And feedstock, raw material for biofuel, we'll discuss it a little bit later. So why Russia stick to biofuel or will, I mean, is going to be a big biofuel player? It's biofuel and agriculture as a whole, it's the very cheapest way to create jobs. That's Brazilian data, and I believe that's comparable with Russian data. So compare with $220, $1,000 per one job created in oil industry. For biofuel, you need only 10,000. So why Russia and the former Soviet Union countries will be a world grain biofuel suppliers? The first, it's arable land. That's a comparison Russian arable land versus several European countries. So it's quite impressive. But this slide, even more impressive. So as a total acreage, Russia has comparable arable land with China, India, and USA. But in terms of population density on this land, it's nothing to compare. So we have not too many people and a lot of land. And most important, this land is one of the richest soil in the world. So it's called Black Earth or Chernozem. It's 60% of it located in Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. So you could see, yeah, that's possible to see on a big screen, so-called Russian Fertile Triangle, which goes from Black Sea to Siberia, surprisingly, where actually I was born in the very right part of this triangle, I mean, fertile triangle. So this is a very, very productive soil, Chernozem. We could grow a lot of wheat on it. What other reserves except soil, very good soil in Russia to produce grain and other food? For example, grain yield, an average in Russia is almost two times lower than an average in the world. So it's a huge reserve to increase. And this is a quite busy slide sometime in Russian, but red it what is should be compared with the world, the same or Canada, same climate condition. And yellow, green, and blue is something what we really have in different areas. As you see, sometimes it's different three, four times. So the reality that Russia has a huge, huge potential to increase wheat production. The only problem is the market. And the same for sugar beet, it's just another example. So Russia is far below US, China, Canada, and Japan in sugar beet. But the problem, last year, last season, we had a record harvest, and Russia have two problems, too low and too high. Too low, it's obvious, but for too high, as you see, it was 108 million tons of harvest. Domestic consumption, 70 million tons. Export, 20. It's because of undeveloped infrastructure, it's possible to export more. So 20 million tons was surplus, stored. And half of that was stored in the ground in a big piles and wasted for this winter. 10 million tons of grain. So it's a huge problem. I mean, just store it like that and waste it. But in probably 5 years, we have even more surplus, 75 million tons. For example, average production 100 million, 40 million in addition for the yield increase. Idle land, Russia since Soviet time abandoned officially 20 million hectares of land. In reality, it's probably 40 million hectares abandoned. So all this idle land could be put back in a production. It's not the best land, but still available for production. And domestic consumption in 5 years is probably maximum 80 million tons. So 75 million tons surplus. And if we could export half of that, still a huge amount of grain, it's could be wasted. It's not used. So that's a huge resources to the same stuff by year. So it's estimated that will be at least 30 million tons, 30, 50 million tons of grain surplus in, by 2020. So with all this grain, that's probably the easiest way for the world to bring grain prices down, the countries to invest in the Russian infrastructure, export infrastructure, to build port and silos elevator. So in this case, Russia easily could be the largest exporter of grain. Otherwise, Russia is now tend to have domestic processing of grain. So Russia will be exporter of value-added product from this grain. So wheat, gluten, starch, and biofuel as well. And especially because of a lot of starch available, Russia will have a lot of available cheap glucose to produce biofuel, bioproducts, bio-anything. If export markets will not be open due to lack of infrastructure in Russia. It's not. I'm not talking about any barrier for export markets, just infrastructure. And as my final slide, McKinsey calculates there will be enough feedstock in the world, food and non-food feedstock, to replace 50% of fuel. So I'm really have no, absolutely no worry about biofuel for food versus fuel. That will be enough for everybody. Thank you.